In Play Radio, from a 40-20 to winners aplenty. We've got it covered.
Welcome along to the Rugby League podcast here at William Hill. It is the last weekend of the Super 8s, and the powers that be couldn't have wished for a better end, could they? My name's Lee Phelps. Mark Wilson's on the line, commentator, rugby league expert, betting pro. Should we call you that? I don't know if that is that fair.
Some weeks it is, some weeks it's not.
Fair enough. We've got four cracking games here, Mark, and you know, like I say, they'll have been sat there at Redhall smoking a big fat cigar outside, of course, you know, and just reclining in their chairs, going, "Yeah, I told you this would work," because there's something on all of these, and the good betting prospects as well. We're going to start on Thursday night with St Helens versus Warrington. That Saints Wigan game last week, Mark, was an absolute belter, and Twitter was alight with rugby league fans saying, "What was there something on the other side?" as the video ref made a bit of a mockery of the England Fiji game, and it was pretty rubbish anyway. People like us were probably watching the other side, weren't we?
Yeah, definitely. And what a game it was, you know. Fair play. I've got to be honest, I had a few quid on Wigan. I was gutted at the end, but it was just typical Saints, wasn't it? Never know when they're beaten and produce that try right at the end. So fair play to them. I mean, it does mean, you know, mathematically they've got a chance of coming top of the pile, but I think more importantly for Saints, they'll want a home tie in the semi-final, and it keeps it in there. You know, if they can get a win and hope that results elsewhere go their way, then they could still get that. So it does keep it all alive. Yeah, it's interesting, this one.
Certainly is. So the league table looks like this before we get into these matches. Leeds Rhinos top with 39 points and a points difference of 290. Wigan Warriors locked on the same points difference of 233. Huddersfield Giants 38 points with a 220 points difference, and St Helens are on 38 points with 158. So as Mark said, all to play for. So Saints take on Warrington. Saints looking here for the clean sweep against Wire. Beat them home, away, magic weekend. Give us what you want, they'll beat you. One of the big headlines here, Mark, is Joel Monaghan's final game for the club. He scored another hat-trick last weekend, his 144th try. That puts him at pretty much a try a game in Wolves colours. An unbelievable player, and he bows out here against St Helens. They're 5-2 to win the game, Warrington, 2-7 Saints. That means a 10-point start at the beginning for Warrington, who are out just for a bit of pride here, aren't they?
Yeah, and in some ways that could make them quite dangerous opponents for St Helens, because they're going to go. I think one thing I'd be looking at in this game is definitely points. I think Warrington have not had a great season, but when they turn it on attacking-wise, they can score points against anyone, and I think that's how they'll approach the game. You've got to look at Saints. Last week got battered and bruised in that win over Wigan, and you know they are likely to be missing a couple of key players on Thursday night. So I think Saints will win, but I think it's going to be I think this is going to be quite tight. I like the look of Warrington on the handicap. I don't think they're going to die wondering. I think this is a game where I'd be looking at both teams to get 20 points and one team to win. My gut feeling is Saints will probably just have enough just because of what's on the line for them. But I think Warrington plus 10 is definitely worth an interest. Saints have been playing top level rugby for quite a while now, where Warrington have had the luxury of turning it on and off when they want, because they've not had really anything to play for the last month. But they had a good win last week. I think they'll carry on that form, so I think Warrington plus 10 is the bet for me.
You mentioned points. I had a quick look back at the last 10. This is the points total in the matches. The last two have been 34 and 36, which is, you know, middle of the road. But before that, 56, 61, 65, 46, 45, 70, 32 and 54. And obviously these teams play each other plenty, so it's not like we're talking about, you know, different teams and different coaches every year. These two teams have been pretty similar for the last three years, give or take a player or two here. So you mentioned the points there, that there's a you know, apart from those last two games, there's a definite trend of high scoring matches between these two, isn't there?
Yeah, there is, and because there's nothing on it for one team, I think it does open up the possibility of points in this. So you look at those two games, the head-to-heads early on in the season, there's probably more at stake at that point, i.e. you know, there were more level in the table, etc. Warrington had more to play for than they do tonight, which generally keeps the games against the better teams quite tight. Whereas I think on Thursday, I think Warrington can go knowing that they can do what they want. And that makes them more dangerous for Saints to deal with. So I think points definitely a player for me. But I say it every week, I think that enhancement on both teams to get 20 yes. points and one team to win, it's too big. I'm surprised. I'm genuinely surprised that we still offer it, because the value is fantastic.
Yeah, it looks an amazing bet, doesn't it? You look at it and you think, 8-1 and Warrington to win. If Warrington were to win, chances are Saints are going to score 20 points as well. So yeah, I totally agree with you. Let's have a look at the Friday night game, shall we? Huddersfield Giants versus Leeds Rhinos. If the Giants win and Wigan do lose to Castleford, that would mean that Huddersfield managed to top the lot, unless Saints manage to have some sort of unbelievable points haul. That's because Huddersfield are on 38 points, of course, and they would leapfrog Leeds and Wigan. A lot to happen for them to get that, but the way Leeds have capitulated in the last few weeks, Mark, it wouldn't be the biggest surprise in the world. The betting shows it's a pick 'em on the 80 minutes. Huddersfield 10-11, Leeds 10-11, the draw 16-1. So we're scratch on the handicap here. Interesting, that, isn't it? Scratch with Leeds going to Huddersfield.
Yeah, I think if this was Team A against Team B, Team A at home would be the favourites this week. Mm-hmm. I think that's priced up on the fact that it's Leeds Rhinos that are going to Huddersfield on Friday. And, you know, they'll go there not in good spirits. I mean, they're a damaged camp at the minute. You know, they were beaten by Saints. You could probably forgive them after Wembley. And hopefully anyone that listened to the podcast last week will have made a few quid on Castleford. We're keen on them to go to Leeds and get a victory, and thankfully they did. But Leeds are a busted team. You know, Paul Ayton's out long-term. There's injury doubts over Rob Burrow now. They've got Jamie Jones, who can, and Liam Sutcliffe. They've been missing for a while, but Kevin Sinfield might have been added to that list as well. There's a big question here if you're having a bet, and this is a question you've got to answer. Do Leeds prioritise winning the League Leaders' Shield, or do they prioritise next week in the playoffs, when quite possibly if they lose, they might have to go back to Huddersfield again? I've got a feeling they've got to look at the bigger picture, and they've got to look at next week, because they can afford to lose on Friday. They're still in the playoffs. They lose a week after, they're gone. I know they're fighting for the treble, but I think they've got to forego the League Leaders' Shield. Now, that's a big statement to make for a Leeds team that are used to winning. And that try for Josh Jones last week meant that it's still in Leeds' hands. They win the League Leaders. But for me, Huddersfield are the form side, mate. I have to play Huddersfield. I watched them last week at Hull. They were awful, absolutely awful, and they still won. Mm-hmm. And that's where Huddersfield are at the minute. I look at some of the poorer games I've seen this year, and a lot of them have involved Huddersfield, but they've all involved Huddersfield winning. They grind wins out. Now, the big question about Huddersfield is, can they win on the big occasion? And that is an answer that would have been no for the past couple of years. When it's a really big game, a playoff game, they generally get beat, but I think this is a different beast, and I actually think Huddersfield off scratch, I think you have to play them as the form horse, and there's too many questions for me over Leeds. You're not sure about team selection. Even if he picks his best team, who of those are fit? Whereas Huddersfield, for me, from the outside, they look fully fit. They look raring to go. I've got to play the Giants.
Yeah, it's fair enough. I mean, not that you can engineer a result in your favour, but what you said there is really interesting. A Leeds Rhinos, if you could pick your opponent and you had to be away in the semi-finals, you'd want to go to Huddersfield, wouldn't you?
Of
those four, I'm not saying that, I'm not doing Huddersfield down at all. But if you ask anyone in rugby league, where do you want to go? St Helens, Wigan or Huddersfield? You'd want to go to Huddersfield. And obviously the choice may be Huddersfield or Wigan. It's just a no-brainer, isn't it? So I'm not saying they lose the game on purpose, obviously. But, you know, if I can see what you're saying there. That makes every bit of sense to me.
Yeah, there's too many gambles. I mean, the only way I could back Leeds is if you wait until 5 minutes to eight and you've seen the teams, and all of a sudden there's a few missing for Huddersfield. But for me, they're the form horse, and as such, I've got to back them. And speaking of form horses, Jermaine McGilvery is on fire at the minute, isn't he?
Yeah, I was just about to say 26 tries. Yeah, top of the tree in the leading try scorers.
Yeah, he can't stop scoring. I'd be looking at him. I think Leeds are struggling at the minute. I really do. And, you know, all this talk of a Wembley blip. I was at Wembley last year when they won, and the emotional outpouring was unbelievable. This time, it looked business as usual when they won, almost as though they expected to win. And yet the results after Wembley have been the same. Now, don't get me wrong, the fixtures this year have been a lot tougher on Leeds, but that's the Super 8s for you. You're playing big games week in, week out, and there was always going to come a period for Leeds when they hit a flat spot. And now they've hit a flat spot and they've got injuries. And it takes some turning round, that it really does. I think Huddersfield results wise are probably the form team in the competition, and I've got to stick with that. I think this could be the year of the Huddersfield Giants.
I know you've been with them for a while, to be fair. So yeah, fingers crossed for you that carries on. I mean, you're talking about McGilvery there. He's 4-6 to score a try in this match. I mean, you'll find much riskier 4-6 on the coupon. In fact, 90% of people will probably put a 4-6 in the coupon in the football world and it'll lose this weekend. That looks a nice bet to me, if you don't mind going odds on a little bit. Let's have a look at Wigan versus Castleford. The permutations here, basically, second place Wigan must avoid defeat against Castleford to stand a chance of winning that league leader's shield. Obviously, if Leeds were to win, they'd have to overturn a points difference of 57, which looks a pretty big ask. Liam Farrell returns for Warriors alongside winger Dom Manfredi. Cass obviously no longer in contention for the semi-finals, but they'll finish fifth, whatever happens. Gedwin Springer, Ash Robson called up to replace Ryan Boyle and Michael Shenton, who are both injured. I guess it's getting ready now, isn't it? Wigan, they'll want to win the game and get themselves in some sort of shape for next weekend. So it's don't do anything stupid, but try and win the game, I guess.
Yeah, that's it. You know, a win guarantees home playoff football, and at home, I think they've been unbeaten, haven't they, this season, Wigan? They've been absolutely fantastic. Cass, was that their, obviously the cup final, don't want to sound disrespectful, but their season ended a couple of weeks ago, and yet they managed to turn it on and go to Leeds and win and do a double over Leeds at Headingley, which is not something many teams have done, but I wonder how much that's taken out of them. They'll go and give it a go, I've no doubt about that, but Wigan is such an uncompromising team. They're very physical. They're very aggressive. And they'll be smarting from that loss to St Helens last week. And Sean Wayne, what have them going into the playoffs on the back of two defeats? And as much as Castleford have made me quite a lot of money this year, betting-wise, I think this might be a game too far for them. So I probably would have to play Wigan Warriors in this one. And it's one where if they get in front early on, then you can see them running away with it. It's going to be very hard for Castleford to maintain the effort and commitment that they've shown throughout the season, because ultimately this is the final 80 minutes of their season.
Yeah, the handicap is minus 14 here, Mark. When you look back through the season, at all of Wigan's home games in Super League, they haven't won, beaten the handicap, that handicap, that many times. I mean, you're looking back at... Catalan twice, they beat them by. Wakefield, they smashed a bit, 52-10. Then the other one was, lo and behold, Cass. You know, when they beat Cass at home, 28-0. So, they're the only times they've actually, won by more than 14, which is a handicap this weekend. So, I mean, would you be taking on the handicap? You think Castleford gone? Is their season over? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I won't say it's season over, but I think it's one of them. If they get behind early on, will they have the resolve to come back again? I think that might be one ask too many.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if they get out in front early on, you could see them kicking on. I'm with you on Wigan. I've not been impressed with them skill-wise and attack-wise. I think they're more brute force than skill, if you know what I mean. I think if they're going to beat you, they're going to run over the top of you rather than run round you. And I think, Shenton will be a big miss for Castleford. And it's worth noting, whenever he doesn't play, Castleford do lack a certain attacking threat on their left-hand side. We all know Carney's not available, so he's not in either. So I think, as much as I don't want to back against Castleford, I am going to take a chance here on Wigan, and I'm going to say that Cass might have one or two youngsters in. Wigan have to win, as simple as that. If they win, if they win by a score, they're nearly halfway to covering that handicap. So I'm going to take a chance that Wigan do cover it. I don't like doing it, but I'm going to do it.
Joe Burgess is second in the list of top try scorers this season with 22 tries. He is another anytime try scorer about that. If you like a short price, he's 4-9, which is short enough. But we talked about McGilvery's price of 4-6. Stick them both together, and you get you're getting 7-5 for a Burgess and McGilvery double anytime try scorer. So it's not 7-5, not bad if you think they can put points on there. 24 quid back for a tenner, basically.
Yeah, I think the analogy you use, you've got to look at that and think about what bets you'll have on the football on Saturday and determine where the value is. If those two lads stay on the field for 80 minutes, which they should do, they're not going to get subbed off unless they're injured. then there's a very good chance they'll score. So I do like it. A player I've been impressed with all year, and he used to play at the Bulls, so I used to watch him quite a lot, is John Bateman. I think he's been outstanding. I think he'll be in the Dream Team when it's announced on Monday. And I like him anytime. He's been playing in the centre, but he's strong running. He's hard to tackle. And I think he'll get over the line should he play on Friday night. So I'll be playing John Bateman, I think, as an anytime scorer.
Yeah, the something look at the price there for Bateman, 5-4 anytime.
Yeah, a bit skinnier.
Yeah, it's a bit, isn't it, unfortunately.
He's skinny because he's been in good form. Yeah, you know, I can't argue with the prices. You know, you do find in the rugby they do fluctuate depending on how the players are doing. So I'd take the 5-4. You know, rugby's not like football where you get one man up top who probably should score all the goals. Anyone can score. 5-4 is a good price.
The last game of the weekend, unfortunately we haven't got prices on this at the minute, is the match between Hull and Catalan, Mark. I suppose, you know, we said there's something on all these games. This is the exception to the rule, isn't it, really? When you look at the... Hull are a strange team, aren't they? I think when I did the podcast with you last time, you were talking about Hull and how... they're just as likely to chuck some kids in and then turn it all on. You know, when there's nothing at stake, you suddenly see and everyone gets, oh, Hull are going to be the team next year, and they start the next season and they've brought in a raft of new players and not giving those kids the chance. You know, Hull are bottom of this this Super 8 table, of course. Catalan are just next to them. 2 points difference. It's, you know, we're talking about maybe, again, just a bit of pride here. Hull can't really, unless they absolutely smash Catalan, they can't really overtake them, can they? They need to overturn about 60-point difference on the table. Not a lot on this one.
No, Hull are the perfect example. They went to Wigan with a team full of kids and lost by 6 points and played great. Brilliant. Yeah. Then last week, they're bringing some of the big boys back, like Sir Leon Price, and play against Huddersfield. And I've never watched the worst home performance all season. So you just can't weigh Hull up as a betting entity. I'd rather always back them away from home than at home, because I think the pressure on them at home is massive. But then again, if you back Catalan on the travels, you'd be a poor man this season. You know, they've not done anything. But Catalan probably at the minute, one of the form teams, you know, I mean, I look at them, they've beaten St Helens, Castleford and Leeds at home in the Super 8s. It shows they've got the ability. It's just they can't translate that to on the road form. And I guess that's the thing here. Can you trust a team that don't do so well at home against a team that don't do so well away? But
draw?
Exactly. Can we back 0-0? I'm going to play Catalan here, because I just think there's a lot of players leaving at the end of the season, some big players leaving as well. So I think I want to put on a bit of a show. I won't say for the travelling fans, because there won't be many there, but I think I would have to play. I mean, what's Hull a lot this year? Lee Radford said last week he doesn't agree with this Super 8s concept, because his team have had nothing to play for the last 7 weeks, and he's been struggling to get his team motivated. Well, that doesn't bode well, does it? So I'm back Catalan on the basis of that.
Yeah, fair enough. The only price I could see anywhere was a match bet. Who would finish bottom? It's 9-1 Catalan and 33-1 on Hull. I've sprung this on you a little bit, Mark, so I apologise, but I'm sure you'll have a view, because you've got a view on anything rugby league based. But I was interested to see the odds for the Steve Prescott Man of Steel Award. Obviously, Leeds got going there with two players. The revelation that has been Adam Cuthbertson. Also, his teammate Zach Hardacre and St Helens prop Alex Wormsley. The odds have Hardacre at 11-8, Cuthbertson at 7-4, and the one non-Leeds player Wormsley at 2-1. It's a tight market, this, isn't it?
It is a tight market, and history will tell you, if you back Leeds players in this market, you'd be a poor man. Hardacre for me has been outstanding. I know he's got his off the field, but on the field, and that's what, you know, we're basing it on. He's been outstanding, and he probably should win it for me. I think Cuthbertson's faded a little bit in recent weeks, but I think that's just given how Leeds have been playing, not necessarily a reflection just on his form. But I think Wormsley, you know, if I was having a bet, I think Wormsley has been absolutely outstanding this season. And a lot of people that I've spoken to in the game think that he when he asked him for the nomination, his name comes up every single time. So I'll play the bigger odds. I hope Hardacre wins it, because I think he's a brilliant player. Well, they all are, aren't they? Let's be fair. But I think it should be between Hardacre or Walmsley, but I'm going to play Walmsley because I just think whenever I've seen him, he's been out of this world, and you know, it just shows what a meteoric rise he's had in the game. And you know, if he wins it, good luck to him.
Last Leeds player to win it, do you know, Mark, off the top of your head? I've only read it. I'm not saying I know it. I've just read it, and I thought I was surprised how far away.
I can't think of a Leeds winner in the last 10 years, so I don't know. You have to inflict it on me.
Yestin Harris in 1998.
Yeah. Yeah,
1998. I mean, you think of what Leeds have done in the intervening period. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Really, it's a bit like Chelsea play before last year. Chelsea players very rarely won the actual PFA Player of the Year. You know, throughout their dominance. I mean, Eden Hazard changed that last year. But it's a fascinating stat that I didn't realise until you said it. I just checked up on it. So
it's the way that he's voted for. There's not much love for Leeds amongst the players.
No, fair, and you know that's well worth taking into account when you're having a bet. The three nominees, incidentally, for the Young Player of the Year are Joe Burgess and George Williams and Warrington's second rower Ben Curry. No betting available on that. All the winners are announced on the 5th of October when they have that big ceremony in Manchester. Is it one bet that really stands out for you this weekend, Mark?
I'm going to say Huddersfield. I'm going to stick with the Giants. Yeah. I just think there's too many variables about Leeds this week. And ultimately, you know, they don't have to win. If they don't win, they're still in the four. They might just have to rest one or two bodies for next week. So I've got to take them on. I'll go Huddersfield off scratch.
Very good. We'll obviously reconvene for the semi-finals when we'll have some terrific games, two brilliant games building up to the Super League Grand Final. But for this week, thanks a lot, Mark. Enjoy the Rugby League this weekend.
Yeah, you too. Cheers, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.